the buzzer. They poured on its way.
They have to get it. With no timeouts, they do.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside with Greenberg and Dokic, breaking down the Final Four. Our special March Madness preview of the Final Four is brought to you by Google Cloud Platform. D squared. Final Four. Two games. Two winners. Then a championship game. Doesn't get any better. We've got Cinderella. We've got Big Ten champions. We got Big East champions. We got Big 12 champions, although they're always the Big 12 champions. Loyola, Michigan. In my opinion, the most important thing in this game is if Loyola can take care of the basketball. Because if they can take care of the basketball, they're going to be in position to win the game. If they don't, you just can't give this Michigan team that defends the way they defend with two point guards on the floor that make good decisions, that guard the basketball with the hardness and the toughness that they play with, extra possessions. Because if you do, they will beat you. That is my key to the game. America, pay attention. If Loyola takes care of the ball, we get more Sister Jean.
Wow. All right, Ben Richardson, Clayton Custer. Quickness and more quickness. That's the guards. I was looking up some stuff, Seth.
Stuff.
60% makes inside the arc, meaning they're getting to the lane, meaning they're making the extra pass, dropping it down for layups, getting past people, all the stuff that comes with getting in the lane. I do think this, and this is where I think this Michigan team has improved. We've talked about it all year. Guard play, guard defense, keeping the ball in front of you. Turning them over is a bonus to me. But if you're going to play Loyola, at this time of year, you damn well better keep Richardson. You damn well better keep Custer in front of you because they're really good at creating for others. They're really good at drawing, kicking, and making you recover. So I think the key for Michigan is going to be keep the ball in front of you. Look, I don't even care if you pressure them. Just don't let them get – I've seen them spread everybody they've played out at some point in the game, Seth. I've seen Loyola spread everybody out with drive, kick. I mean, it's incredible. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to say for Michigan to win, you got to keep those two kids in particular in front of you. And for God's sake, don't let it come down to a last-second shot. So I think that as we move forward, keeping it in front is a strength of Michigan. But they're going to be tested, and they're going to be tested every possession by Richardson and Custer. I think that's a key.
Xavier Simpson and Abdur-Rahman can really guard the ball.
Yes,
but
they can.
But you made a great point. Not that I'm shocked at all.
Well.
But to get to this point, you need to make a play.
Yes.
And Loyola's made three plays. They made three plays.
Yes.
I mean, like three ridiculous plays. Now, those three plays, I'm not sure any of them are bigger than the play that Michigan made. But everyone talks about the path to the Final Four. It's like the road to, you know, road to success is always under construction. Like there are potholes and detours, and you got to navigate those. I mean, we're talking about two teams that are very fortunate to be in this place. I mean, we're talking about, let's face it, a Loyola team that if Wichita State's still in the Valley, if they didn't win the conference tournament, they'd be playing
Seth
tomorrow in New York City.
Seth, if Northern Iowa makes a big three late, there is no Loyola. Which stinks. I don't like it. But it's a fact. It's the way the world works. They would have lost in their conference tournament. No doubt about it, your point. No doubt.
And I'll tell you the other thing. The patience that Loyola people have had. They won 32 games in the first 3 years of Porter Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
32 games. They won 32 games this year. I love the versatility of this Loyola team. I love that on any given night, a different guy can step up. I love the big boy Krutwig who can pass it, who's so awkward that he's good. He's a good player, rookie of the year in the conference. I mean, he's a good wide-bodied player. I love their character. I love their trust. I love that they are without an ego. They are genuinely happy when someone else makes a play. They're genuinely happy. The Custer's post-game interviews when he said Marcus Towns was the best player on the court. Ben Richardson was the best player on the court. Dude, you're making game winners. I mean, like, no, there's none of that with them. Having said that, Michigan defensively I think is better. Michigan is bigger. Little bit more athletic. I don't think they're going to get spread out. I think they're going to be heels to the three-point line. And for the average fan that's listening to this, if you're heels to the three-point line, you can guard the three-point line without getting split. You don't have long closeouts, which means you can get out to shooters. You're not having to overhelp. And I think that Michigan, whether it's Mo Wagner, whether it's the two-point guards, whether it's Charles Matthews giving him a toughness, whether it's Livers, I just think they're going to find a way to win this game.
I do, too. I really thought that Jordan Poole was going to come off the bench the other day because it was, you know, it was a rock fight for a while with Florida State.
The rock fights.
And I thought Jordan Poole would be the guy to come off, but, you know, Beilein finds him. I think it's going to crowd him. He's going to have a difficult match in a different match with Momo. Momo will go down in the block. He'll pick and pop. He'll slip, ball screens, pop to the three. I think you're going to have to play a couple of things if you're the big freshman for Loyola that maybe he hasn't seen at the level that he's going to see him with Mo, because Mo is skilled, right?
And, oh, really skilled.
Yeah, and I I'm not saying the kid can't do it. I'm just curious to see if he can. I wouldn't bet against anybody on that team, on that Loyola team. And I have a friend named Kent Sterling. His son Ryan played for Loyola, right? So I called him and I said, all right, is this Sister Jean stuff real? You know how it goes. Like, or is this just a great story? He goes, no. Sister Jean is real. It is all real. She was in the same capacity for however many years, certainly when Ryan Sterling played there, but you just didn't know it because they didn't win, right? So when I heard that, I'm like, all right, I can get down with I don't care who wins this game. I really like Beilein. I love Beilein. He and Mo and Duncan and Muhammad, I love those kids. But I've fallen in love with Loyola, so I think Michigan's going to win, but as the great Jamarcus Ellis told me when I was coaching Indiana and he failed the drug test, I ain't mad about it, coach. Well, I ain't mad about it. I ain't mad about whoever wins this game.
I think it's a good point. Yeah. I mean, these are two teams that are easy to root for. They're just two teams that they have a likability to them. And that's just the way it is. And it'll be an interesting game. And it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you saw Loyola in the championship game, and it would obviously be exciting for Michigan. And you know the way in which that John Beilein has built the program and evaluating players, and you know a year and a half ago, the guys were leaving and there were issues, and he kept on doing his thing, coaching his team, figuring out how to put his team together, and it is what it is. We'll be back to preview Villanova, Kansas, but first a word from Google Cloud. It's March, and that means one thing: basketball, basketball, basketball. Did you know that college players who wear the number one on their jersey dunk the most? Didn't know that. Or those born in North Dakota are historically the most accurate three-point shooters? Didn't know that either. You know how I know that? Because the NCAA is using Google Cloud to turn decades of data into answers. Answer questions like this. Are seniors the best at hitting game-winning shots? I would think so. Experience matters. Can school spirit really help a team win? Not on a neutral court. Are upsets more likely during a full moon? Possibly. Whatever questions you have, from basketball to business, Google Cloud can help you find the answers in your data. Because with all the data you're sitting on, that's how you take on the competition. Today, tomorrow, and well into the future. Only one team a year gets to cut down the net. But with Google Cloud, just imagine all the things you and your team can accomplish. Know what your data knows. Visit g.co/MarchMadness to learn more about Google Cloud, the official cloud of the NCAA. Support for Courtside Today is also brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When I was a coach, it wasn't easy to find players on the recruiting trail that I knew would become great. In any line of work, it's harder to find the right talent, people that fit in, that buy in, that understand your culture. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies the people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. That's right. Candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Business of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. F-R-E-E in capital letters. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/courtside. That's ZipRecruiter.com/courtside. ZipRecruiter.com/courtside. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now, how about the next game, though, big boy? How about Kansas and Villanova? How about the Fighting Jay Wrights? How about the way they defend right now? How about their culture? How about their toughness? How about Jalen Brunson on the block? Jalen Brunson with the ball in the middle of the floor. Mikal Bridges spotting up. Dante DiVincenzo coming off the game. One game getting 18 off the bench, knocking down threes. The next game, like, tip dunks. How about that game?
Seth, you know, again, this is why they pay you and me the big bucks, right?
Big.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whoever makes the most jump shots is going to win the game. That's all I feel like. I feel like both teams, you know, if Spellman goes out there and plays like Spellman did a couple games ago, I don't know how they get beat. I really don't. But he did it combining hitting jump shots, the post kid for Villanova. I didn't think Villanova shot the ball well. In fact, I really didn't think Kansas. I thought Kansas had some great looks mid-game, late game against Duke and couldn't make a thing. Then all of a sudden they did. Seth, I honestly feel like these two teams mirror each other in certain ways. Now, obviously, Brunson's different. I get all that. But
Graham's pretty good, too, though. I mean, those are two players. To me, those are the two player of the years.
Right. Right. Exactly. You want the backcourt. There it is. Trey Young can make second team. Those two guys are on the first team, All-American to me. I think Villanova, and I don't know why. I think that it's hard to beat them. It's hard to beat Kansas. They're so similar, but I'm going to go with Villanova, but only if they get back to making, you know, whether it's Bridges or...
They picked one day. They had 44 threes in the tournament prior to that game. They were shooting like 57.
Yeah, and they had a bad day. So if they get back to making them, they'll win. If they don't, somebody's going to make a bunch of threes late and win the game. And I'll say it's Villanova.
I think pace is going to be important because I think Villanova wants it slower because in transition is Pascal or whomever going to get matched up with it, Svi or LeGerald Vick, and run the floor defensively. The faster the game gets, the better it is for Kansas. I think Eric Pascal, watching his matchup and Spellman, because I actually think Kansas is going to match up probably Svi on Spellman, and they're going to go with probably Udoka on Pascal. That's my gut feeling. Because,
well, then you got to drive the basketball, right? I mean,
yeah.
Look, I'm going back. This is a long time, but you'll remember. 1987, I was at Indiana on the staff. We won national championship, and we were going to play UNLV.
A humble brag.
Well, I was a laundry boy. I mean,
that's
I was.
All right. You got a ring.
I did. But my point is, we're in a meeting with Coach Knight, and we're playing UNLV with Freddie Banks and Wade and all these guys, and they were averaging like 90. It was the first. And Coach Knight comes in and goes, look, I know we're going to run. We can't win this game in the 50s. We can't win this game in the 60s. There's no chance. So, hey, we're going to get out. We're going to try to play faster than them. And I think we won 90-something to 90-something, you know. So I've never, ever since then, when you get to this point, I've always wondered about pace and what is obvious and what's going to happen. Does that make sense? I mean, you know how life experiences dictate how you feel about certain things?
Sure, no doubt.
So I wonder if Jay's just going to say, look, we got to score. Like, Kansas is going to score. So there's no slowing it down in here. There's no, let's be us and take your shots, drive your back, push the ball. I think that's what's going to happen. I think you're going to see a high-scoring game, really high-scoring game.
The one thing about Villanova, because the league they play in the Big East has been a pretty wide-open league. You think about Marquette, and you think about that league in general, and they play freed up. Let me ask you this, and obviously this is a huge compliment. St. John's beat Villanova with guards attacking and off the bounce and spacing and playing fast. I think Villanova can play any speed they want. I think they can play fast, they can play slow, they can play through the post, they can space out Spellman to bring Azubuike away from the basket if that's the matchup. And then when they drive and kick, Spellman will be standing there in the corner with licking his chops, knocking down jumpers. Defensive transition to me is a concern, but it's a byproduct of your offense. We know that. Villanova's not going to take bad shots. I just think matchups will be interesting for sure. Neither team is overly deep, although De Silva.
He's played well.
He's played well. I think getting him in the Big 12 tournament with Udoka Azubuike out, getting him quality minutes, has earned the trust of his teammates and earned the trust of Bill, which I think is really important because I'm not sure they had any trust in him before because he wasn't a very good practice guy. I think it's going to be a fascinating game. You talk about, you know, Graham and Brunson, great matchup, no doubt about it. You talk about Bridges and whether it's on Svi or whether it's on Malik Newman, it means fascinating matchup. And then Malik Newman, like, let's face it, until the Big 12 tournament, it was like, Malik Neal, he's not that. He's okay. 12 points a game, but he hasn't figured it out. He made the defensive player of the game on Grayson Allen. Did a great job of keeping him in front, contesting without fouling, all right, which enabled him to extend the game, which enabled him to win the game. So it goes back to that fine line. I mean, everyone has one of those moments. I mean, Grayson Allen makes the shot. We're not talking about Kansas. You know, Loyola makes three of them. Michigan makes a half-court shot. Villanova's really been pretty much unscathed, per se. They haven't been challenged in the same, you know, in the same way. But when they have been challenged within a game, the little fundamental, Jalen Brunson, he's calm when everyone else is losing their minds. And the guy is so mature, it's ridiculous. It's just, it's almost like you wonder, he's so mature, you almost wonder if eventually it's going to pop. And let me ask you, this is the other question. Kansas, Self and Jay have Final Four experience. Beeline's got Final Four experience, just in a big picture. Obviously, Porter Moser, he wasn't with Rick in Utah, so he doesn't have that Final Four experience. He's making those phone calls. But Villanova, having been there recently, two of the last 3 years, like, do we start talking about Villanova like a blue blood? In the millennial sense of college basketball today, not the deep dark history, because deep dark history got to talk about UCLA and Indiana, but in the millennials version of blue blood, is Villanova blue blood?
Seth, absolutely. Here's why I say I say teams get replaced as blue bloods, right? Like, is Michigan State a blue blood? I kind of think so, but I'm not. It's Connecticut. Because it used to be, Seth, hey, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky.
Multiple national championships.
Yeah. And now, okay, Connecticut, certainly. Multiple national championships, right? Villanova.
But fired a coach who won one of them.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, my answer to you is, if I were going to go into a recruit's home as a mid-major and say, look, and this is what I used to do when I went to Bowling Green. All right, we're gonna treat you like you would be at, you know, it was always, you know, Kansas, Kentucky, Indiana, Duke, North Carolina, you know. Well, now, we're going to treat you just like you would see Villanova, right? I mean, Villanova is there every stinking year. Every year. The only thing bad about Villanova for them is they're never on our air, so nobody knows about them. You got to be on our air to know about you.
I mean, totally. And as I got killed with my off-Broadway comment.
No, you did. Who cares?
You get killed every day. Every by the way, not only you do get killed, and when you get killed, you go right at people.
That's how I was raised, and it's not good. Because then Leroy calls me every other week, and then I got an issue.
You get a Leroy call. Never good to get a Leroy call.
I get a call from Leroy, a text that says, yo. And I know
Yo text. When you get a yo text, that's always a good text. All right, so real quickly.
Yeah.
Villanova, Kansas, who you got?
You picked
Villanova second.
Yeah, I'm taking Villanova. Villanova, Michigan. Villanova wins the title.
I'm taking Kansas. I just have a feeling about this team. The speed.
Just want Kansas people back on board with you after the whole field debacle.
Wait a sec. Time out. Right. I sent Villanova about $300,000. Of my money for Jackie G's education. I have a lot of reasons to root for Villanova, and I love Jay Wright, and I love their team, and I love how hard they play, and I love their culture, and I love everything about them. I didn't send Kansas a dime.
Right.
But you know what? I just have a feeling the way they're playing right now.
All right. Let me ask you this. If Villanova would have sent you $300,000,
sent me $300,000. I was all in. Yeah. Let's go, Cats.
See, you made the wrong point. Your point was I sent them money to hell with them. That's
the hardest thing
them.
About sending tuition, as you know. That's after tax money. That just kills you.
Oh, don't even.
There's nothing worse than
that's why
tax
people.
Money.
Junior went to Ohio State obligatory junior comment.
It took us a long time to get
there.
Yes,
it did. Junior. Went to Ohio State, right? And everybody says, well, you hate Michigan, Dan. I go, no. There's a YouTube video of Beeline saving me $28,000 by having the cops come in and give my son a scholarship. I love John Beeline. Not very many people give me $28,000.
I hear you. And you know what? And your boy Junior, he was crapping in his pants when those people came in. It was like, oh, my God, what am I going to tell the old man? Hey, We're not picking. We're going to have a podcast for the championship game, aren't we, Gabe?
I would hope.
Yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back on Monday morning to recap the Final Four and preview the national championship.
Doesn't get any better than that. But you know what we'd like to thank? We'd like to thank the Google Cloud and ZipRecruiter for all their support of today's podcast. D Squared, the next time I see you will be in San Antonio drinking a margarita.
Yeah, I'll be doing the slam dunk contest.
I mean, won't be there. Yeah. It's nothing personal.
Will you be watching?
Probably, yeah. I'll be watching on my iPad.
Can I buy you and Gabe a margarita in San Antonio and chips? And I'm buying. Let's go.
You know, if I had your money, I'd give mine away. So, yes, you can buy.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcast. We'll be right back.